As I mentioned, we're going to meet a woman today who encountered Jesus, who had a need. She was very desperate. And she came to him, and she wasn't looking for the whole loaf of bread, just for that tiny crumb. I'd like to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 7 to follow along as we continue our study of Mark's gospel. Mark 7, verse 24. We're moving into a section of Mark's gospel that is often referred to as a period of withdrawal in Jesus' life. He's withdrawing from Palestine, one of the only times we find record where Jesus left Palestine. He left Galilee, we'll see in a moment, and he's among Gentiles. We'll see as we get into chapter 10, him making his way back into Judea and then toward Jerusalem. But today we're going to meet this woman. I want to begin by looking at the setting in verse 24. Jesus left that place, probably somewhere near Capernaum, north shore of the Sea of Galilee, went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. Now, Tyre is a city about 35 miles northwest of the Sea of Galilee, the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. It was a wicked city in the Old Testament, a godless city. In fact, people from there were some of Israel's bitterest enemies. Mark doesn't tell us why Jesus went here. He doesn't say he went here to do thus and so. He just said he left and went there. Perhaps he left because of the growing hostility from the Jewish leaders. Maybe, as we saw previously in our study, he went just to have a time away, a time to be still, to rest, to be with his disciples. Fact of the matter is, we don't even see the disciples mentioned, but we assume they were with him. But whatever reason he went there, interestingly, it says he wanted to be incognito, as it were. He wanted to keep his presence a secret. So you can imagine him pulling his hat down, his dark glasses on, and kind of coming into town, finding his way to this house, whatever house it is, and entering that place. But you can't keep Jesus secret, can you? It was impossible. It says in verse 25, in fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. It's true. You can't keep Jesus secret. If he is in your life, if he is in your heart, if he is the one you love, you can't hide that. People are going to see him in you. If he's in your family, in your home, if he's in your business, people will see him. And it was no different here. It says this woman heard about him. How did she hear about him? Well, if we go back to chapter 3, you may remember that Jesus was performing miracles throughout Galilee. And it says in chapter 3, I believe verse 8 or so, that people from this region, Tyre and Sidon, came down to witness the miracles. And certainly they went back home and they talked a lot about what they saw, what they experienced, what they witnessed. And now somehow word got out that he's there. She heard about it and she followed the truth that she had. It's very instructive for us. Especially if you're here today, if you're listening, and you aren't a follower of Jesus. The question is, are you following the light that you have? Are you following the truth that you know? Or have you put up barriers? You don't want to know more. This woman, she heard about him, and she went to seek him out. Very instructive to us. So what did she want? Why did she go there? It says the woman was a Greek born in Syria, Phoenicia. It just simply tells us she was from the region of Syria. She was a Greek. In fact, in Matthew's account, he calls her a Canaanite. And you may remember from the Old Testament, they were the enemies of the children of Israel. And so again, she doesn't have a standing with Jesus, but she push past the obstacles that would have been there, her gender as a woman, her ethnicity, her religion. She pushed past all of those things and went to find him. And when she went and found him, she fell before him. Certainly in honor, perhaps in worship, but she went to him. And why did she go? Well, she was facing a situation she couldn't handle, a problem she had no solution. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Now, if you're a parent, you know what it's like when one of your children is in need, when they're in distress. I've told you before some of the stories of my children, accidents, things, you know, grabbing them, running to the hospital, things like that. I remember one of my daughter, Emily, she had a lot of infections, a lot of high fevers. You would do anything at that point, right? You would do anything to help your child. That's exactly the way this woman was. She was in that situation where her daughter had this problem. She tried everything. She had no solution. She couldn't overcome the problem. And so she went to someone she thought could help. In his book, King's Cross, Timothy Keller talks about parents like her. Parents are not really on the spectrum from cowardice to courage, because if your child is in jeopardy, you simply do what it takes to save her. It doesn't matter whether you're normally timid or brazen. Your personality is irrelevant. You don't think twice. You do what it takes. So it's not all that surprising that this desperate mother is willing to push past all the barriers. That's exactly what she did. She would not be deterred. Can you relate to her at all today? Is that need, that burden in your life great enough, powerful enough that it drives you beyond obstacles might be in your way so that you can find help? I think she's very instructive. And maybe we should take a lesson from her. Whatever your need is, whatever the problem is, run to Jesus. Bring it to him. Fall down before him in humility, in faith, and allow him to meet your need. Now we come to one of the strangest responses of Jesus in all the Gospels. If you don't know this account, if you aren't familiar with this, this might surprise you. Jesus is not always the affable person that we've come to understand him to be. So this woman has come in such a desperate need, falling down before him, pouring out her heart, begging him, and the idea is she kept asking and asking and asking and asking, so much so that if you read Matthew's account, it tells us that the disciples went to Jesus and said, "Would you tell her to get out of here? Tell her to leave." So here she is coming to Jesus, and this is how he responds to her. Verse 27. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Wow. It sounds an awful lot like, sorry, but that wouldn't be a good idea. It sounds a bit like no, doesn't it? He seems to be dismissing her out of hand. What in the world is he talking about? Bread, children, dogs, what is all this about? Well, there are several different interpretations of this passage. The one I believe fits most closely to the context and what we find unfolding in this verses to follow is that primarily Jesus is talking about his ministry to the Jews first. There's a hint of this in the New Living Translation of this verse. It says, "First I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." So the children, I believe he's talking about, take the bread from the children. He's talking about the children of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Jesus, as we've seen already, fed 5,000 people on the hillside, and then he stood and said, "I am the bread of life." And he came to the Jews. That was in Palestine. It was among the Jews. The Jews were the ones fed. He came for them. And dogs, that doesn't sound like a very nice way to refer to someone. Especially Gentiles, because the Jews referred in a very derogatory manner to Gentiles as dogs. So is Jesus actually calling her daughter a dog? I'm not sure he really is. I think he's more painting a picture. He's giving a parable so that she'll understand. And also, I think, as we're going to see later, so his disciples will understand his mission. So a couple things I would add before we clarify this further. He doesn't use the typical term for dog here, which would be a wild animal running around, scavenging. He uses a term referring to a little puppy or a house pet. So you can easily picture it. Many of you have pets. You have dogs in your house. You see them under the table begging for food, right? That's what he's picturing for her. He's saying it wouldn't be right to take the bread that's for these children sitting at the table instead and give it to the puppy, the pet under the table. That wouldn't be right. But there's a hint of hope here, a ray of light, and it's in the term first. First, let the children eat all they want. Doesn't that imply there's going to be seconds? I think it does. He's saying, I came first to the Jews. First to the Jews. I came to minister to them. They're the ones that are my priority right now. And we see this later, following Jesus' death and resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the beginning of the church. Paul wrote about this to the Romans. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile." So perhaps now you can see what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I came first to the Jews. I am the bread of life. The bread is feeding the Jews. It wouldn't be right for me to take it away from them and give it to someone who is not a Jew. Again, a rather harsh, peculiar saying that Jesus gave a response to this woman. But she wouldn't be deterred. She persisted and gave an amazing response to his statement. Verse 28, "Lord," she replied. Just stop right there. "Lord." She called him Lord. It's the only person in Mark's entire gospel who referred to Jesus as Lord. And it comes not from the lips of his disciples, but from the lips of a pagan female Gentile. Lord. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. What an amazing response. You see what's happening here, right? She gets it. She understands the parable. Again, one of the only ones in the gospel to do so. As we saw last time, when Jesus was talking to his disciples about what is clean and unclean, he said, "Are you so dull?" And he had to explain to them what it meant. And here is this woman who hears the parable, and she gets it. She understands exactly what he's talking about. And furthermore, she continues the parable. She uses it to advance her request. She doesn't deny her place. She doesn't demand a place at the table. She acknowledges that she has no demand on Jesus. She simply says, okay, I get it. You came for the Jews first. You are the bread. But just as there were basketfuls when you fed thousands of people, all I'm asking for is a few crumbs. Surely no one would deny a few crumbs that fell after a child's messy meal at the table. What an amazing demonstration of faith and persistence. So now we see faith's reward, verse 29. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. I like what it says in Matthew's account. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Again, it was just such an amazing reply. She didn't earn the answer. It was by grace. But grace comes through faith. And she had faith. She trusted him. And therefore he said, the demon has left your daughter. Verse 30 tells us, she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Again, this is such a great demonstration of faith. She didn't demand that he go with you. Okay, I hear you. You said it's true. You said the demon is gone, but could you just come along in case it isn't? Can you give me some sign? But no, she didn't. She took him at his word. She simply went home. And this is the only account we see where Jesus healed from a distance without a command at all. And she believed him. And went home and found her daughter delivered and whole. Amazing, amazing account. Don't really know much about what happened to her after this, but she certainly had an encounter with Jesus that was life-changing. And really, I think one of the things we learn is that just a few crumbs of Jesus' presence and power is all we need. It's a wonderful picture of salvation, actually. Because we're all essentially like this Syrophoenician woman. We don't have a place at the table. It's by God's grace that we receive spiritual nourishment and life. And so I want to share three closing thoughts from this text. I just alluded to the first one. Number one, none of us are worthy to eat at Jesus' table. The fact is, our sin is probably greater than we realize. Because the reality is that each of us, because of our own fallen nature, because of our rebellion against God and going our own way, we all deserve to be forever separated from God. And yet, because of God's grace, through our faith in Jesus, we not only have the opportunity to eat crumbs, but we're given the privilege of sitting at the table as his sons and daughters, as his children. That's amazing. That is astonishing. Because none of us deserve it. None of us. Secondly, Jesus is ready and willing to feed and bless even people, and dare I say, dogs, like us. Jesus came for his own people, but as we read all the way back in the Abrahamic covenant on forward through Scripture, it was through them that he would bless all people. And so salvation is extended to everyone. And that's why we are commanded as followers of Jesus to take the good news, this wonderful news, to all nations, to all peoples. We are to take and show and share the transforming love of Jesus to our neighbors, those that are not like us, refugees, immigrants, people who don't look like us. Jesus came for them, and the message needs to go to them. The disciples, this was a lesson to them. They told Jesus, send her away. And then they witnessed not only what Jesus said, but what he did for her. Again, a reminder that Jesus came for everyone. And then finally, sometimes God's response to our request is puzzling. Like David, he's praying, God, I've been searching for you. Have you been there? Are you there? I mean, this woman, if she just took Jesus at face value, it sounded like he said no to her request. Martin Luther, commenting on this passage, said, all this is written for our comfort, that we should see how deeply God, listen, how deeply God hides his face, and how we must not go by our feeling, but only by his word. Is God hiding his face from you right now? I've referred to it numerous times. How at periods of my life, it seems like God is gone. I don't know where he is. I don't understand him, what he's doing. And again, this woman is an example of that. The answer, it was so bizarre. And sometimes what God does in our lives seems so strange. We thought we understood him, the way he functions, the way he works, what he's supposed to do, and then he does the opposite. And Martin Luther says that tells us we should not live by our feelings. He continues, all Christ's answers sounded like no to her, but he did not mean no. He had not said no. Yet all his answers were more like no than yes. Listen again. This shows how our hearts feel in despondency. When we're in that place of despair and despondency and great need that's protracted and going on and on and on, what it seems like to us is God is just saying no, no, no. When in fact he may not be. Finally, Luther continues, it sees nothing but a plain no. Therefore, it must turn to the deep, hidden yes under the no. And here's the point, and hold with firm faith to God's word. During those times when God seems hidden and it seems like it's no, we are challenged to hold with firm faith, not to our feelings, but to God's word. And I'll tell you, I haven't always done that. So Tim's going to come. We're going to play. I want to give you a chance to respond to God today. Whatever that need is, whatever came to your mind, whatever arose when we began, and I was talking about a need or a problem, whatever that is, and maybe you're like me. There are some areas of my life that I prayed for so long that I just kind of gave up. But would you today, again, turn to God and say, God, I continue to believe. God, I'm just coming today. I don't deserve it. I have no right. But I come because of Jesus. And I just ask you to come today. I'm just desirous, desperately needing a few crumbs of your presence and power in my life. Would you just turn to Him now and say, Jesus, You are the bread of life. I need You today. I need You in this situation because I've run out of options and my heart is weary. Help me today to hold on to faith just as this woman did, to keep trusting, keep believing in Your word, to look past my feelings. Just reach out to Him today, right now. Come and fall before Him as she did. Not demanding your rights, what Jesus is supposed to do, but simply asking for His mercy and His grace. Come, Lord Jesus. We need You. We long for You. We believe, Lord Jesus, help our unbelief. Help us to persevere, to persist, not to become weary, not to become hard, but to continue to passionately seek You. Come, Lord Jesus.